And then it moves on where God created, where God selected a family for himself. That family, which was headed by Abraham, has went on for a long time, and we are up to the place where that family has split up. And we're going to be talking about the family coming back, and then the cross a little bit this morning, and Palm Sunday. We'll be moving toward that overall in the story. We talked about Daniel last week in the lion's den. We'll be taking a week off to talk about Easter, and then we'll be going to Esther, the story of a queen that had an amazing mission of courage in the ancient world. And then we'll be moving into the life of Christ. And that scroll will continue on until we get to the present day and God's mission for us. But that mission that we're part of now, we learn about in the present day. And this morning, we are looking at the return home. So first of all, from Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, which are these words. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put this into writing. Let me just stop there. Here's what was going on with Cyrus, okay, and then with Darius, who's later on in this story. Cyrus was the beginning of rulers that were giving religious freedom and were running the world in a new way. A whole new regime was starting, a whole way of doing things that led to the world as we know it. But here's what Cyrus said as he said they could go home. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He was the runner of the empire. And he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. In any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. And then in the book of Zechariah, one verse from there, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is one from Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Those verses will be on the screen in a little bit. You will see them again. But before we pray, I just want to invite you to come back for Good Friday. We'll be celebrating communion, the Lord's table, on Friday night at 6:30. And then, of course, Easter Sunday. Invite family and friends as we celebrate our risen Lord. And then the week after that, then we'll go back to Esther. We'll go with the story through early July, actually end of June, and then we'll start something new. But let's pray together. Our Lord, we are here this morning because you are here. And Lord, we join into this story that you began long, long ago, the creation of the world. And we join with brothers and sisters of all ages, of all languages, of all generations, in worshiping you. And we proclaim your name to be great and the greatest of all. And we join together to celebrate you and that name this morning. But Lord, we confess to you, we admit to you, Lord, that we got a long ways to go, Lord, that we have fallen, that we've fallen to the side, Lord. We've sinned against you, but we're grateful that Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. And so we come in Jesus' name, and we ask you now to speak to us through your word by the aid of your Spirit, who is with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, doesn't it feel good to be home after a while away? I got home on Monday. You know, I was with family, kids, and some grandkids, and it was a wonderful time. But there was some. I was coming home. I was thinking, man, it feels good. It's going to feel good to be home. And my wife's away until tomorrow, and she's enjoying it a little bit more. But she's going to feel. It's going to feel really good to her to be home. And isn't that the way for all of us? You know, you get on vacation, it might be the greatest vacation of your life, but there's something good about being home. You even get on the school bus, you go off to work, and you got a long day, there's something good about getting on the bus or getting on your car or on your bike, and it's good to be home. You might go off to the hospital. I remember one time I had an operation, I came back, and I remember heating up a cup of coffee in the microwave. And that cup of coffee, it was one of the best of my life. It's just like, man, it's just so good to be home and have a decent cup of coffee. There's something about coming home that reflects the image of God in us. At the beginning of time, the Bible tells us that we were made in God's image. It's like there was a stamp of God and his name, what he was like, and we were made like him. And there's something about who he is that creates community, a desire for community in us, a desire for relationship, for safety, for security, for home, a place to belong. That's from the image of God that is within us. And God's people had been gone for 70 years away from home because of their misbehavior. And it wasn't a happy time away from home. They were slaves in another nation. And they just couldn't wait to get home. And this is the story of their return home. I hate to keep harping on it, but it seems like we've had a year away from home, doesn't it? We've been away from home. So, you know, some have said to me, they're getting vaccines, they can't wait to come back to their church home. There's some that can't wait to get home to be with family or to be with friends or to go to a ball game or whatever it is. Or there's other things that have gone on in their lives. Some that have had tragic events this year. And some that have challenging things going on right now, they can't wait just to get back to home and to get back to some semblance of order and some sense of security with others that love them and know them, and especially with our Lord. It was that way for Israel. Israel began in the story that we look at this morning with a family home. So the final king that had blood from King David, King Zerubbabel, returned home. He brought 50,000 people home from Babylon. Now they had been unfaithful to the Lord. They had refused to follow his ways. They had become more wicked than the nations around them. And so they had spent 70, the Lord said, okay, we're going to go on to the next generation. Just like it happened back with those sandals there when they wandered, one generation lost their opportunity with the Lord because they didn't want to follow the Lord. They didn't want to follow those commandments that the Lord had given. They said, hey, we really like life our way. And that happened again. And so the kingdom was split in two, and they went off in chains, and it was a bad, bad time for them. But now most of that generation had passed. They were finally coming home. 50,000 people, think of it, on their way home. And they just couldn't wait. And what they did at the beginning was what they hadn't done at the time when they were sent out from Jerusalem. They began with God. You see, that's what the Lord had taught them. The Lord had taught them back at the beginning of time and later on with the Ten Commandments to begin with Him. And so they said, well, we got to get this right this time. And so as they came back, they built a foundation for the temple. And then they had a celebration of what they called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what that was like a big camp out. And so they set up tents all over town and all over the nation, and they camped out for a week. And what they remembered was that they had been campers, so to speak, in the wilderness, in the desert, and the Lord had been with them all along the way. He showed them His presence with a pillar with fire at night, and he showed them along the day by taking care of their needs. And the Lord had commanded them, remember that I am with you. I'm pup-tetting with you. I'm living with you, He said. And I want you to remember that. And so that's what they did. They began by focusing on their relationship with the Lord. And they praised the Lord. They were excited. They said, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. And the old-timers wept. There were a few of them that were left that remembered the temple and the way it had been, but everything had been smashed to smithereens. And they were excited about this beginning, but they missed everything that was there, and they were sorry, it seems, for their sin. But the younger ones, they were excited. They were excited about this new beginning. And they shouted for joy to the Lord. You know, we are now part of the temple of God. We are part of the expanded people of God. The New Testament says that now we who love the Lord are joined in with Him. We're a chosen people. We're a royal nation. We're God's special possession, so that we then can declare the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. This is why we celebrate Easter. Now, we do all kinds of fun things over the next week or so. We'll have Easter eggs, and we'll have some meals, Easter ham, or maybe some Easter lilies. We have some flowers that are going to be up here on the platform, I know, and other things we'll do next Sunday morning. But that's not the reason for Easter season, okay? The reason for Easter season is relationship with God. And so that's where we begin. We begin with that relationship. The Bible teaches that there is joy then in His presence. That's why we gather on any Sunday morning. It's why we gather where we meet with the Lord during the week. As we meet with Him, as we connect with Him, as we relate to Him, as the one who made us, we have great joy in His presence. And it's out of that presence then that we move on to the mission and this great story that He has made us a part of. Well, Israel, when they came back this time, they had some good beginnings. They were focusing on what was most important. But then they got distracted again, and they forgot. And they got interested in other things and even started living like the nations around them once again. But the story continued on. Eventually, they were conquered by other nations. But God appointed one son of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come home, and King Jesus came back and claimed His kingdom for Himself. Jeremiah the prophet had wept when Israel had been sent away in chains. He was left behind, and he said, "Oh man, I remember how wonderful the city was." But he said, the streets are empty. And the prophet said that the day would come when children would be playing in the streets again, when people from the east and from the west would grab a Jew and would say, hey, can we be part of this? And this is exactly what happened as Jesus came back in Matthew 20, 21 and in the other Gospels to Jerusalem. You remember the story? The crowd laid their, the disciples went off and they got a donkey and they laid their garments on the donkey and it was fit for a king, and the crowd met him on a hillside going down there into Jerusalem and then up the hill again. And they laid their garments on the road, and they took the palms off the trees, and they laid them on the ground, and they started waving them on the air like they would do for a conquering hero. And they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there were children there that were part of that. And they gave Jesus a hard time for that, but Jesus said, wait a minute. The Bible says that from the lips of children that God has ordained praise. And there were people there from all over the world that were looking in and that were trying to be part of this. It was because it was Passover, it was an international festival. And Jesus had come to inaugurate the kingdom of God. Jesus came and he quietly welcomes people into his kingdom home. It's like he came on a donkey. He came quietly. It wasn't forced on us. It wasn't by might or power, Zechariah said. It was by his spirit that Jesus moved in human hearts. And he welcomed and welcomes people of all ages, of all nationalities, of all backgrounds, of all situations into his kingdom. He welcomes children into his kingdom. He loved it. The disciples tried to put them off when Jesus was in his ministry, but Jesus said, no, let them come. This is the way that my kingdom is. We got children that do Listeners Club. Our hope is that they would learn to be older worshipers who would be full participants in what's happening on a Sunday morning. We have children younger than them over in children's church learning the same thing. We have kids that meet here for Bible adventures during the week, and some new ones that are coming into our services through that to join with us in what God is doing among all ages. We have a bell choir that's going to be here next Sunday morning that's going to rehearse after the service once again. We have kids running around, and for those that are of us that are adults, we say, hey, wait a minute, what's with this disorder? And Jesus said, this is why I came. I came for children. I came for youth. I came for adults, young and old, men and women, rich and poor. This is why I came. And he welcomes all nations. He welcomes all nationalities to his home. He welcomes all of the nations like he did on that day. And we are blessed to bless others as he has blessed us. We're blessed to host the Arabic church on Sunday or on Saturday nights. This was here when I came in this morning because Pastor Musa said, hey, can we borrow our baptismal robe? We've got a Muslim that came to Jesus. And he was apparently baptized this weekend because this came back on a hanger. And we thank the Lord for that ministry that he's made us a part of. We're part of something much, much bigger than we are. And that's what Jesus was doing on Palm Sunday. That's what he's doing now around the world. In our church family alone that we call the Alliance, there are 2,000 churches that meet on a Sunday morning in the U.S. in 37 languages from around the world. We have over 700 workers that are sharing Christ around the world in 70 nations. We have a partnership in our church with a ministry in the Dominican Republic and another one in Thailand that's reaching out to disadvantaged young boys and girls. God's kingdom came when Jesus came on Palm Sunday. It began. And we say, well, what's with all this suffering in the world? It was because his kingdom began, but it's not yet. It's here, but it's not. It's yet to come. It's here, but it's yet to come. And we look forward to our eternal home when King Jesus comes back and welcomes and brings us home. You see, the story was delayed at least 3 times. It was delayed when they spent these 70 years in Babylon with chains and bones. The prophet Ezekiel said it looked like a valley of dry bones. It was delayed then. Now as they came back this time, they came back to their home. But then they were unfaithful to the Lord, and eventually the Lord allowed conquerors to come in, and by the time Jesus came, they were a nation of slaves all over again. And then when Jesus came, they crucified him. But Jesus didn't stay in that grave. Next Sunday morning, we're going to remember that Jesus, we're going to celebrate that Jesus didn't stay in that grave, that Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is going to finish the story. Here's what the prophet Haggai said. He said, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry ground. He said, I'm going to shake all of the nations. I'm going to shake them, the Lord says. And what is desired by all nations will come. Everybody has wanted peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he was here. But he was crucified. But he's not done yet. He's coming back. And he will be proclaimed to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will make all things right. But you know what? This is a great joy to be part of this. But it's not just for us. King Jesus blesses us now to bless others with this home he's made us part of and to invite others to be part of it. Terry McCleary is going to come now and she's going to present us a video, the story of a woman from Somalia who was welcomed into our home, that is the home of the kingdom of God, of God's people, and has gone on to share it with others.